The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like
Dude Tuesday version of the show.
Running his mouth, talk about it. We all about it.
And you were fired up though, Chew, from something that we got from Jen earlier today. She's out. She's driving to Bloomington, Indiana to work on her story for Game Day this week. Indiana undefeated. They're hosting College Game Day. And honestly, when I saw this text from Jen, I just thought, yeah, this is kind of the way it has to work. So there was a tweet that Jen had found, and she sent to our group text at 5:07 this morning. 4 p.m. hotel check-in, 11 a.m. check-out is one of the biggest scams in our society. I mean, that's just...
Totally agree.
How do you agree with that? That just...
Because hotel prices are so out of control right now.
Sure.
So we're going to Nashville, not this weekend, but the following weekend to go see Coach. Coach, who's 6-2, getting after it.
How much are you going to watch the game he's coaching?
The game starts at 5. I will give him... first quarter.
Oh, that's more than I thought. I honestly thought you might just show up for the national anthem, kind of wave to him, make sure, hey, this is where I'm at, and then dip after the first series.
They play in Titan Stadium.
Yep.
Not anticipating a sellout. But I'm on the sideline, so I got to give it a little.
Oh, right? You're getting special access.
I'll start planning my exit start of the second quarter. So what you do is you got to wait till the ball gets to the other end of the field, and then you slip out the other way.
Do you have an exit strategy for every situation you find yourself in?
Totally.
Smart move.
Yep.
Wait. Do you?
I'm very proactive.
Do you plan?
Reactive.
Do you plan these as like you're driving to wherever you're going to be? Or is this something that you've thought about earlier in the day? Now, this is obviously a situation that you found yourself in. You know, you've been in this situation before. You've been, you know, you've gone to the games where you're... I mean, Coach has been... I mean, what, 6-7 years now he's been coaching?
Yeah. Well, no, he'll be 30. Probably more than... Seven, 8 years.
Years, something like that. So this is not the first rodeo in terms of, okay, this is how I have to exit the game. So this is, you know, this is a bread and butter type of play. But when you were there, I mean, and again, I'm not blaming you for this. I knew who I invited to my wedding. I knew you were not going to be sticking around for very long.
Yes.
But, like, that's a venue that you had not been in before. So, like, do you then, when you find yourself in that situation, I mean, are you then planning, are you kind of taking that sip of your wine, kind of looking around, planning how you're going to be exiting 30 minutes from now?
Yeah, you have to wait till something happens at the establishment you're at. Like, I'll give you an example. Like when I used to do things for the Packers,
which
I don't do anymore. Once that Packer obligation is up, goodbye.
Well, that
so a
one...
lot of times it's halftime. Most times it's halftime. I'm out.
For being
see, I look at the difference is this game.
Okay,
do I find enjoyment from watching football? Yeah. Was it a job? Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's a tough. I understand the tough balance you find yourself in terms of leaving that early. I'm just trying to get into your brain of how active you are trying to figure out how you're going to leave situations. Like it's because I will tell you this. For being a 6'5 former NFL tight end, like you don't blend in. However, you're incredibly stealthy. Like
I am very stealthy.
Like you're really good, despite being this large person. Like, you're very good at sneaking out of places.
Yeah, like a good exit plan for me is to knock a glass of wine over and, let me go get some paper towel and goodbye.
That draws too much attention. That's way too much attention.
I know, but Joshy, there's a, hey, I'll clean it up. Where's the paper? Oh, it's outside over there? Okay.
As somebody who shares a lot in common with you, I daydream about when I get to leave stuff. I'm thinking ahead. If we've got plans, I'm like, oh, we're going to be able to sneak right out of here at this point. XYZ is going to happen. I'm out of there, buddy.
Yeah, but you're, I mean, novice seems so far away. Like, Chewie is like light years ahead of you in terms
of. He's got more practice.
Yeah, in terms of exiting places. Like, he is so much better than you. It's unbelievable.
I'm also not sneaky about it. I'll just be like, I'm leaving. I don't care what you got to say.
But I'll tell you this. Like, I would, you know, coffee and wine time are kind of the same.
Okay.
Because my wife is in Dallas for work. And I find enjoyment with a cup of coffee watching the pool cleaner. I could do that for an hour. I did it for 45 minutes this morning.
But you just said.
But I find myself yelling at it.
What were you yelling at the pool cleaner?
Because it always pivots away from the dirt. I'm like.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the pool cleaner. I do not have a pool. So what is this?
It's like a Roomba? Roomba. Yes. Yes. It's got a light on it. It's got a headlight.
I thought it was a human at first as well, too, Josh. I thought it was a human at first, too. I thought there was just somebody over there cleaning Chewie's pool. Did not realize he had. Although it makes sense.
You're heckling him.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Because if Chewie's investing money into robot burger flippers, it would make sense that he would have a robot cleaning his pool.
So, you know, it's got a headlight on it. And the sun here does not come up till about 7:40. It's very weird. And it's got a nice blue LED light that moves, so that to me is entertaining. Quiet, you know, maybe a loud bird every now and then that's on a palm tree branch that I have to yell at.
Seems like you're a guy that would sit down with a book and have a good time just hanging out in the quiet.
See, that's what my dad used to do, but I just think there's easier ways to get things done than to read.
It feels like you have more, again, to that point, Chewie, you've always famously shared the story of when your dad would go watch you at Boston College. He would read a book while BC was on defense.
Yes.
So he wouldn't, you know, have to necessarily pay attention to that game.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you and your dad have more in common in terms of just being able to entertain yourselves.
Yeah.
Than maybe you've led on before.
Well, don't you take on traits of your dad?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
But the thing is, back when I was like 22 years old, I'd be like, God, my dad's such a dork. Look at him reading a book when the defense is on the field. And you know what? I do the exact same thing. And I love it. So.
Wait, so what are you going to do because your son is an offensive coach? Like, do you pay attention to what's going on defense? What do you do then that would be similar in terms of, defense is out there. I don't have to care because my son's not coaching that side of the ball.
I usually evaluate. Because I tell you guys all the time, I don't follow the ball where most people follow the ball.
Yeah.
So I'll evaluate and I'll say, hey, that kid's pretty good, or this kid's terrible. What's he doing in there? You know, that sort of thing.
I like that. I like that. Chewie, yeah. The scout. Chewie just goes into scout mode.
Yeah. No, there's enough distractions in there to keep me busy. I don't think I can get food on the sideline, though. That's the only problem. I mean, I bet Tennessee has some probably pretty good stuff. A hot chicken. Hot chicken is big in Tennessee. You guys like hot chicken?
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. Now I'm just trying to figure
Patty
out.
B's.
Could. I mean, if you knew somebody in the front row, and if they did, like, delivery service to the front row, I bet you could get food on the sideline.
And that might be frowned upon.
Yeah, but, I mean, what do you care?
No, you're right.
I mean, of the list of things that you actually care about, like, it's your family, and that's about it.
Do I have to wear swag? To support.
Has he given you... Okay, so here's the important... He's given you swag?
Yes.
You should probably
wear
the swag.
It's pretty good swag.
You should probably wear the swag. Like, you don't have to go, like, head to toe, hat, you know, I'm assuming it's a quarter zip.
No, it's you know, it's the thin hoodies, kind of like, you know, what you have on.
Yeah, sure. Like a thin hoodie? Yeah, just throw the thin hoodie on and wear the rest of the uniform. Yeah. Yeah, you got to... I mean, he gave you the swag. If you didn't have any, I wouldn't say go buy some, but if he's given you some, you got to support.
But I want to, you know, Eddie George is the head coach, and I love Eddie. Me and him cross paths in the NFL, talked to him pregame, and then Clyde Simmons. Remember Clyde Simmons, old Philadelphia Eagle, Reggie White, Jerome Brown defense, Golic, and Clyde Simmons was the other one. He's a trip.
Are you going to be distracting these people?
There's actually some other, Joey Bowden, who I played with at the Senior Bowl, is the defensive coach there. Lance Zeno, who was with us in Green Bay in 93 or 94, is Dylan's assistant offensive line coach.
Are you going to be distracting
so
these people
lot of
during the game?
Am I what?
Are you going to be distracting these people during the
Probably.
Game?
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
So you're gonna. What you're telling me is you're probably going to embarrass your kid.
Probably. Well, that's what parents are for.
But I mean, yeah, sure. Embarrass him before the game. After that, you can't be embarrassing during the game. Like they're trying to get a job done.
The only one out of all the guys that I named would be Clyde. Would come over. He'd be the only one because Clyde gets very easily distracted.
Sounds like somebody else I know.
Yeah.
sounds very familiar. Are you like, is your wife going to be on the sideline with you? Or is this just a you thing?
Oh, that's just a me thing. Because her whole family's coming in. They're meeting in Nashville. And the game's at 5. I'm like, Dylan, come on. You can't move it up to 1. You know, we got dinner reservations, I think, at 7.
Okay. So he's aware that you won't be there. I mean, he knows. Oh, he knows who his dad is.
Gabe, when I'd go watch him at Michigan State and there was sprinkles of rain, I'd go to the hotel and he'd know. They know. They
yeah,
know.
Again, as
they
long
know
as
how
you
I roll.
Do a good job of setting that expectation, yeah, that's fantastic.
Am I kind of selfish? Am I a little selfish?
A little?
And I wanted to ask you that. I'm a baby when I'm sick. I've been told that.
Yeah, you're a baby?
Am I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Josh?
Yeah, you're a baby.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah, so he agrees with me. He agrees with me.
I was going to say, you're a baby when you're sick?
Yeah.
That's it?
Am I a baby all the time? I pout. I guess I do pout.
Well, so here's the problem. So the word that you're...
I know you guys talk about me, too, when I hang up. I know that for a fact.
No. No.
Because you have horrible poker faces when they put you on the stream and Gabe's head's just down. I know you guys talk about me behind my back.
No, so here's the thing, Chu. There is nothing that I wouldn't say behind your back that I haven't said to your face. Again, because I'm the one who just called you a baby. The word you use in your life, though, that your wife uses on you is NFL boy.
Does that fall under that, though?
Yeah, I mean, if you're pouting, that's being kind of a big baby. That's being a grown up baby.
Hold on, Gabe. If you asked wives,
yeah,
I would say most wives would say their husbands are babies when they're sick. More so than the wives.
Okay, is there a way we can pull this?
And they'll bring it all back to pregnancy, which they always do.
You're digging yourself a hole,
yeah,
buddy.
You love to just go into the depths.
I'm not going there with you. I'm not gonna
it's
jump
a one
in.
One man
with
battle
you.
You're fighting.
But you know I'm right. They always that's a big card. Huge card.
Well, yeah.
So.
It's a pretty good one to play though.
So.
It's a pretty good card to play.
Yeah.
Do husbands think, or do wives think their husbands are babies when they're sick? We can put it on the poll at Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We could certainly ask Jason Wilde about that. We can ask Jason Wilde more about the Green Bay Packers as they transition off their win against Houston and start getting ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is all coming up next.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
I'm sorry, who is this?
This is Gabe Neitzel. How are
Keith.
You doing, buddy? Yeah, Keith.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, Keith's son. I remember you. It's great to have you back, buddy.
Man, you take one trip to Scotland. One trip. That's all it takes. Everyone forgets.
I don't think it was one. That's an annual event. You've been doing it for, what, 3 years?
So the craziest thing, before we get... So the craziest thing, Chu, you mentioned that. So the last course we played, I had played the first time that I went over in 2022. I randomly was assigned the same caddy.
Wow. That's kind of like weird. Did he remember you?
So, like, you introduce yourself. We're walking up to the putting green. I'm going, man, this guy is really familiar. And as I'm hitting some putts on the putting green before the first tee, I go, I had this. His name's Kenny. I had Kenny last time. And I walk up, and I hand him my putter, and Kenny goes, Gabe, I think I had you last time you were here. So, yeah, I ended up just randomly getting assigned the same caddy. And, yeah, we had a good time in our last round of the Castle Course over in Scotland. So that was...
Think about how many people, Kenny, does he have a thick Scottish
accent? Oh, of course he does. Yes, of course he does. Yes.
Oh, I love it. Think about how many people he caddied for in the last 2 years. Were you wearing your, like, ESPN Wisconsin print pants?
So I had them on this time, but the first time I went over, Jason, I did not, because I famously, my luggage did not arrive. So, like, the bright clothes that I typically would have worn, I did not have the first time, but I did have this time around.
But, Jason, he's a lefty. That's like a left.
That's
how
true.
Many left-footed punters do you know? You know?
Oh, so you're thinking his left-handedness allowed Kenny to remember him better.
Yes, totally. Jason, what was the dust-up before the game?
Jair Alexander hates Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs hates Jair Alexander.
There's a history both, there?
Yeah, and they're just both, I mean, they're both troublemakers, right? They're both trash talkers. They're, I mean, not, you know, not like you who honored the game every time he set foot on the field. These guys, I mean, they just do. This is just what they do. And Jair, I mean, if you go back and look, I was looking at the NFL Plus copy last night. Like, there are plays that he has absolutely nothing to do with, and he's like meandering over to trash talk like Tank Dell. And he had nothing to do with the incomplete pass. He was just, I mean, he had as much to do with it as I did, and he's talking trash to Tank Dell. So look, that's who he is. But I'll say this, after the guy that he was last year, when he was miserable in the scheme and he was injured and he got himself suspended, you know, if you're a Packers fan, this is the Jair you want. You don't like him if you're a Texans fan or a Vikings fan, but with him, you know, brimming with confidence, he's got a pick six earlier this season. Like, this is the Jair you want, and it's a little obnoxious in my opinion, but if he's feeling it like that, that's obviously good news for Packers fans.
Jason, it seemed like Matt LaFleur at least downplayed after the game a little bit the interceptions, but I've got to assume that there is a happy medium, right, of, yes, he's going to throw interceptions. Yes, he's going to throw more interceptions than Aaron Rodgers did because, well, Aaron's the best in NFL history in avoiding that. But there's got to be a happy medium between, yeah, he's going to throw more and leading the league and having 8 through 5 games.
Yeah, I thought yesterday, for example, and I think you're 1,000% right, that he was trying to downplay them. And I get that, right? I mean, he is not, just like he was with Rashawn Gary when he was facing questions about Rashawn's lack of production. Like, he's not going to be hypercritical of any of his players, much less his star players, publicly. Now, he does say things that are critical, and you then have to do a little bit of homework. For example, the interception where Love overshoots Watson on that first down play, right? It was Watson, right, that he overthrew. He mentions that we got edged, and the pressure coming from Love's right causes him to fall away as he's throwing the ball, and that causes him to sail it. Well, you know what that is? That's, you know, poor, thinly veiled criticism of Zach Tom, who got beat on that play by Danielle Hunter, and that's what leads to him being pressured. But I personally would say, it doesn't matter that he was pressured. Quarterbacks get pressured all the time. He sailed the ball. Like, that's, and I think Jordan would be honest and say, look, I got to do better on these. I can't be throwing this many interceptions. It's great that I'm taking risks, and it's great that I'm pressing the boundaries as a quarterback, but I still have to make some better decisions. I think that's reasonable. I think that's how Jordan feels. Again, you know, I talked about it last week after I talked to him on Thursday after practice. know, I totally get that this is part of his development. I think it's a good thing, by the way. Like, you know, every quarterback, as LaFleur said this, has to go through this process of figuring out what works and figuring out what's basically a bridge too far in terms of risk-taking. You know, I don't think the first interception was a risk, right? Like, he locked in on the receiver.
Yeah.
And the guy fell off of Romeo and was there to deflect the pass that was intended for Wicks. I mean, that was good defense, and if there's a criticism there, it's that obviously, you know, Love didn't see that that was a possibility with that, and LaFleur did. Again, you're right, Gabe. Like, LaFleur took the blame for that, talking about the design of the play. Well, all right, fine. You could take some blame for that. Maybe that's why I was yawning. And that's fine, but you have to be realistic and also say, hey, my quarterback's got to make some better decisions here. It's not getting us beat yet, but it could, like it did, frankly, in San Francisco.
Jason, why is Christian Watson's production so minimal? I mean, if you look at targets, you got Jaden Reed, 38, Romeo Doubs, 34, Kraft, 30, Devontae Wicks, 38, and Christian Watson, 14.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would say that it's extenuating circumstances, right? I mean, he was the one guy in the one Malik Willis game who played 41 snaps and got zero targets. Okay, we're seven games in, so now we have to wipe away that game as a being skunked. Then there's the Minnesota game where he is targeted. Unfortunately, it's an interception, and he gets bent backwards and awkwardly, and again, dodged a bullet because it could have been way, way, way worse. But that's at the end of the first quarter. So now he misses the next three quarters of that game. And a game, frankly, where they were throwing the ball all over the yard because they got down 28-0. I'm guessing he probably would have had some targets during the final three quarters of that game. And then, you know, the game he misses because of the ankle injury, now you're up to 2 3/4 games where he's not even on the field or might as well not be on the field. So now out of 7 games, that's a lot of time to not be targeted, right? And even when he came back last week or 2 weeks ago now, you know, he was there, but he wasn't fully healthy and fully a part of the offensive scheme. I mean, he was a decoy for a lot of it. So you start to pile up those games where he's not fully involved. Now, I would argue that obviously, Sunday, you would have liked to have seen him targeted more. And I don't think that Christian is going to not show up for work on Wednesday. But if we're being honest, if anybody could say, you know, I'd like to be more involved, Matt, could you find him? It's him. I mean, and I'm glad that Romeo seems to be in a better place. I talked to him one-on-one after the game for a little bit. I know he even did a group interview after that, which I wasn't expecting. But again, this is just the vagaries of this offense. Like, 1 week, Wicks gets 13 targets and Romeo gets mad. And then in the two games he's been back, what has he been targeted? 18 times in those two games, if my math is correct. This is how this offense works. And if you're not able to handle that, which I think Christian Watson is, but if you're not able to handle that, yeah, you're going to get frustrated. It's not like the old days with you where it was just Free and Brooks and you and Jackson and Dorsey out of the backfield, and that was it. And Terry Mickens got 4 targets a season. It's just not the same.
Jason, one of the things we talked about yesterday, only 12 carries for Josh Jacobs. Did have 5 receptions, so I think you have to factor that in. 17 touches. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of where they want to keep him early in the season to make sure he's healthy and ready to go for late season since they were so good last year? Because Aaron Jones was healthy and getting a lot of touches late in the season.
No, they wanted to be higher. And LaFleur talked about, I mean, and look, I understand that
when Josh Jacobs has 32 carries in a game that Love misses, we all kind of increase our expectations for how much he's going to get the football. But the bottom line is that their offense, like we didn't spend a lot of time on this obviously yesterday, but their offense was not very good, right? I mean,
correct.
And that's a good Texans defense. So, you know, they turned it over three times as a team. They have one possession where they give it away on special teams. They got two other possessions where Love throws interceptions. And then they have five more possessions where they go three and out. So if you're trying to get Jacobs 20 to 25 touches, which I think is their target, LaFleur said yesterday at least 20. So I think, you know, between the run game and the pass game, they would love to have him in that 23, 24, 25 range. The fact that he ends up with 12 carries, and they were a good 12 carries. They weren't the grind of the whatever he had the previous week. He didn't have a ton of carries the previous week either. I think that's a function of, and LaFleur admitted it, he did not get into a good rhythm play calling wise either. Like D'Amico Ryans and their defensive staff did a really good job kind of throwing him off. So I don't think that's a function of we don't want to wear him out. We don't want to give him the ball too much. I think that I believe Matt LaFleur when I hear him say that it's a function of we can't have five three and outs. You got it. If you pick every time you pick up a first down, that's another first or second down play where he can get the football. And if you go three and out as often as they did, that's how you end up with a guy running very effectively but not getting the ball enough.
Jason, do you think Halfley's resigned to the fact that he knows he's not going to be able to create pressure with the down four?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to do it in other ways, and he's got to come up with game plans like this? Because there were a handful of fire zones, which I hadn't seen him do a lot of this season, and there were some, you know, I wouldn't call them exotic blitz, but some creative blitzes. Mm-hmm. Is he going to have to come up with a game against good teams, I'm saying? Is he going to have to come up with game plans like this week in and week out when they play someone decent?
I don't know if we still have that hotkey button where, like, the angels sing and it's, Chewy was right! Chewy was right!
Oh, we got it,
think,
Jason.
You think Chewy would ever let us get rid of that?
I'll quit.
No, I don't know.
That was a part of his last negotiation.
Yeah.
We have to play it so many times per week.
I'm familiar with his negotiating tactics. I'm going to have him go to bat for me next time when I'm looking for a raise. Chewy, you're a 1,000,000% right. And look, I think this is one of the things that I personally really like about Jeff Halfley. Like, and I asked LaFleur a question about this yesterday because, to me, the mark of a good defensive coordinator is not, hey, we believe in our scheme, we believe in our system, we do what we do, and it's going to work. What I think a good defensive coordinator does is says, okay, this crap ain't working. We got to do something else. And what we saw on Sunday, I don't know about you guys, but I think, and we'll talk to Halfley on Thursday, I think what happened, frankly, was he thought exactly what you thought. We can't get pressure with four. We need to get creative. We need to do more twists and stunts. They definitely did that more. I mean, they had the one where Rashawn Gary starts on the left side, and he went on a walk around the park. Like, he ends up coming from the right side of the formation by the time he starts rushing. He had another one where he kind of came in on somewhat of a delayed blitz. There was a lot of that, but I think he watched the Vikings when they came here and thought, you know what, some of the stuff that Brian Flores does works. Because if you look, I don't know how many times before Sunday I had seen him put eight men up like he did on a couple of those plays, right? And then he doesn't send more than four.
Nope.
He just drops different guys out. And it confuses the offensive line in terms of their declarations of who's blocking who. And I don't remember that. I don't remember seeing that in training camp. You know, remember when we were hearing about how the front four was eating the offensive line's lunch every day? Like, I don't remember them having to even practice that or work on that. I think that's what I'm eager to ask them, because to me, again, that is the mark of a real, and I'm not speaking of anyone in particular, but maybe sort of I am, that you can't just keep doing what you always do and think you're going to get better results. Sometimes you got to change things up, and you got to listen to your players, and you got to get creative as a coach yourself. And I think that's exactly what he's doing.
Jason, always appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again on Thursday.
All right, boys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. The next best round of golf for you is going to be happening at the Wisconsin Country Club. Join me. Do what I did at the Wisconsin Country Club. And I know the golf season is coming to an end, but we've got a simulator out there. So many things that you can still do during the off season. But when you're thinking about golf for next year, you want to play a great golf course that's fun, challenging, tree-lined fairways. You're not going to get sick of playing it. Again, I love it out there. Maybe you're also looking for something in a country club more than just golf. Well, you can always check out the tennis and pickleball courts, the pool with themed Sunday Fundays each and every week. So get started today. Visit thewisconsincountryclub.com for membership info. The Wisconsin Country Club, just a fairway away.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have five safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
Two field goals, two safeties.
Two field goals, two safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Continue. Yes. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
I mean, we'll see just how much this is actually going to come to fruition. Yeah, about a half hour or so from now when we go through power rankings. But right now, a lot of things are coming up Packers. You take a look at the San Francisco game that they've got coming up here soon, Chew. Well, Ayuk out for the season. Deebo Samuel, so sick with pneumonia, had to be hospitalized. Who knows what the hell is going to end up happening with Christian McCaffrey. Yesterday, we get the news that Jameson Williams, talented second-year wide receiver, finally looked like he was putting it together for Detroit. He's going to be missing the next two games, which includes a game against the Packers, because he's going to be serving a suspension, not for PEDs, I believe it's a PES, a performance-enhancing substance.
What's the difference?
I think just the category of... I believe it's like so if you have a prescription for Adderall but don't report it to the league, I believe that becomes two games versus like four games for, you know, straight up like steroids or you know, human growth hormone, stuff like that. So it's only going to be two games for him, but still, he's going to be missing the game against the Packers. You know, it just seems like a lot of things in the NFC. I know you were impressed, Chewy, with Tampa Bay last night, even in a loss. Chris Godwin needs ankle surgery. He is going to be out for the rest of the season. A lot of these teams that the Packers are competing with, I mean, they're going through some stuff right now. And even though the Packers are not playing their best, I mean, things are starting to trend in a good direction for them.
It's early. It's early. This thing always balances itself out for the most part. And they've been healthy. I mean, outside of Musgrave and Jordan Love missing those two games, they've been probably one of the more healthy teams in the league. So just pump the brakes there, okay?
I mean, but still,
San Francisco, wasn't playing well with those guys anyways, with Deebo and Ayuk. So I think they're done, which is shocking. It's strange this year with the pivot, because everyone thought Dallas would be, you know, maybe not a Super Bowl contender, but in the mix, and they're bad. Like you said, the 49ers from an NFC standpoint has been probably the biggest surprise. Now there's a handful of them in the AFC, but we really don't care at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean,
Miami's been a disappointment, but obviously two of that, the Jets have huge disappointment. Cincinnati, huge disappointment. Jacksonville, big disappointment. And even the Chargers are falling off after a pretty good start.
Yeah, but I mean, with Jacksonville and Miami, I mean, those affect the Packers. The Packers playing Jacksonville next, although Miami presumably would have Tua for that game against the Packers on Thanksgiving at Lambeau Field. But yeah, in the NFC, I mean, really the only teams I think that you're really concerned about are the ones in your division.
Yeah, but is this a trap game, Gabe?
See, I knew
it
this was coming.
All the makings.
I knew this
of
was coming. I
game.
Should have said
it just
something
does.
Yesterday.
It does.
I knew he was going to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to bring it up yesterday because I was look, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I didn't want to bring it up yesterday because I would have been accused of being Johnny Raincloud of going, oh, yeah. Chewy's going to call this a trap game because you have Jackson, because the big game with Detroit lingers. Like, that's yes. coming up next. You just came off of a signature win, a really good, tough, physical game against one of the best teams in the AFC in Houston, and now you have to go on the road to Jacksonville, who frankly has not been very good.
But they have the potential.
Sure.
They have the potential. Sure. I mean, if they play. I mean, I would think the Packers, I haven't even looked at the line, but I would say they're probably favored by 5.
4.5.
Okay. So it has the makings of a trap game. And then the other point, you got to be careful about, hey, Jameson Williams isn't playing and Ayuk is out and look at all this stuff. It's the Jason Garrett effect. It's the Jason Garrett effect. When we went into Dallas, I think it was on Thanksgiving Day, and we found out before the game, because we already knew their backup quarterback was out, we find out that Troy Aikman isn't on the active list. And we got the third guy, Jason Garrett, and we got smoked. So you got to be careful.
Yeah, and I don't think the Packers are going to overlook the Lions. I just think that game is – I mean, and they very well still could lose that game because the Lions still have Amon-Ra St. Brown. That one is a home game.
Okay.
The first one's a home game. 3:25. Yeah. I mean, the November stretch, again, Lions at Bears, Niners, Dolphins at home. Like, again, that doesn't look as daunting because of all the injuries that the San Francisco 49ers are going through.
Yes.
Like, again, maybe San Francisco figures it out by then, too, because that's still a month away. And maybe Christian McCaffrey gets healthy and who knows. But, I mean, without Brandon Ayuk, they're not as good of a team. And the same thing with the Lions. Yes, they could still lose that game. Yeah. But without Jameson Williams, the Lions aren't as good. They still have a lot of weapons and, like I said, could absolutely still win that game. But that's something that kind of helps out the Packers and tilts the scale in their favor.
But they're not playing great right now.
No.
They're not playing great. I mean, it was the most encouraging thing is probably Jeff Hafley having the ability to dial different things up to bring pressure. You know, because the question I asked Jason, I think he knows that, look, I can't do it with the four down defensive linemen, so I got to get a little creative here.
I'm just curious because, like, I think of the 90s, I think of kind of the early 2000s. Like, when you won your Super Bowl, yeah, you guys had the little lull in the middle of the season because you were beat up. But you guys were pretty damn good all year long. When the Niners won their Super Bowl in 94, same thing. Cowboys, when they won their Super Bowl, same thing, right? Like, just dominant pretty much the entire season. Yeah, you're going to have these little lulls. But it also kind of seems like at times in the modern NFL, it's, okay, how well are you playing at the end of the season versus, you know, having these dominant teams? It's about making sure you're peaking at the right time more than it did maybe when you played. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with it. But the nice thing about this last game, because you look at it during the season, and I can tell you this, sometimes you get frustrated with the other side of the ball. And sometimes it's hard to keep yourself from pointing fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe if the defense doesn't play as well as they did and the offense plays like they did, they don't win that game.
Oh, they can't. No, absolutely not. Because, the offense put them in really tough situations with the turnovers. And the fact that the two interceptions only led to 9 points because they were able to hold them to a field goal in one of those situations obviously was huge in a two-point game. So then the follow-up question to that, Chew, is at what point do they have to start kind of, okay, now they have to start picking up that momentum? Like middle of December? Like the last four games? Last three games?
No, I think a little more than that.
Okay.
I would say 5 or 6.
Okay, so basically December.
Which is where they're on track right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're on track. They've got 3 in a row, 2 against Matt opponents, and then they beat a really good team. There's still going to be a dip, Gabe. There's still going to be a dip.
Yeah.
There's still going to be 2 losses in there somewhere.
Oh, 100%.
Everyone in the league goes through it, you know. I know the Toads have blinders on, and they're the 17-0s, and they don't want to hear the negatives of the game.
Well, but Joshy would even admit that the Packers can't go 17-0 anymore.
I know, but... What the hell's that? I mean, this is what happens... This is and Josh, he's a little bit in that category because I'm going to take a shot at him for not playing Chewy was right when Jason requested it, which I thought was a bunch of crap. So with that being said, now I lost my train of thought. Damn it.
Because he had to take the drive by a Josh.
Yeah.
What you get?
I had to take that shot. What was I talking about?
No, it wasn't that good. Point.
The lull that's going to be coming.
Well, it is, which is fine, because then you want the reset. And like you said, when we, when we played in '96, we lost those two games. We were losing to a terrible team in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. When at the halftime, coaches didn't even say anything. The players were just screaming. And then that was our reset. Then we had the team meeting the next day and said, "Hey, we got to run the table." And you know what we did?
You ran the table.
Ran the table.
Yeah, pretty dominant fashion. To further your point, and maybe we'll get Joshy to play it, Alan saying, watch the pack for many years. Jags game going to be ugly, looking past them with Detroit leaming, bringing fans back down to earth. Jamie in Orlando saying, it better not be a trap game. I'm going to it. Every Packers game I've been to so far, they have not lost. Seems, make sure you're knocking on some wood there, Jamie. And Justin in Jacksonville saying, Jacksonville Sports Talk last night, talking about how this could be a trap game for the Packers.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they're too young for it to be a trap game for them.
Wait, so you can't have a trap game if you're too young?
Yeah, because
I feel like we've done this before. Like, what are the rules? I mean, I would agree. Like, this seems like a trap game. You're going on the road. You're playing a bad team. Really good divisional team looming. That seems like that has to be factored into the formula. But age is factored into the formula of a trap game as well?
Yes, because veterans get comfortable. You go through that week of practice, and you do look ahead to Detroit and like, all right, let's not go through the motions, but let's go through the motions. Young guys' problems, Gabe, young guys' problems are week 13, 14, 15, when they're not used to being so beat up in this league, and they're like, oh, and you just hit a wall, and you're just, it's kind of like me right now. It's just like miserable, you know? I'm sick, I'm tired, I'm sore. You lose concentration, whether you're a receiver or a defensive player, where you're missing tackles and you're dropping balls. That's the young guy's problem, you know? They're full of pee and vinegar right now until they get really sore. So, trap game. I mean, I'm not real worried about it.
Okay.
I'm not.
So if
and I don't know why. Because I can kind of smell trap games.
And so
I don't think
this has the makings of a trap game, but does it smell like a trap game to you? And you're pretty close to Jacksonville down there. I mean, you're closer than we are.
Yeah.
So if you, okay. So when do you have to make the declaration that this is a trap game or not?
I don't think I will.
Okay. All right.
I don't think I will. And I talked about it last week when you were on vacation. I said, you know what? I said,
well, it was a work trip.
Yeah, sure. I was really interested to see if they can win a game without winning the turnover battle, and they did.
Yeah, they absolutely did. The WIAA, stop me if you've heard this one before, Chew, find themselves in some hot water because of stupid stuff that they've done. We'll dive into that very quickly, coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I do want to tell you about our good friends at the Ewald Automotive Group, because whether you're hauling, towing, or just plain trucking, it is truck month at Ewald Automotive Group. They have hundreds of the toughest trucks from Chevy, Ford, GMC, and Ram. Payments as low as $299 per month. Financing as low as 0%, and it's all backed by that Ewald exclusive 20-year, 100,000-mile warranty. It's going on now while supplies last. The offer expires at month's end. They make it easy for you. So just go over to ewoldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. Mm-hmm. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
six,
have.
Six.
Eight.
Eight. Six.
Seven.
Seven. I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost, and he seven, stayed. 5309 on 94.5 ESPN.
I do want to give some credit before we inevitably rip the WIAA here. Because I think that putting together the football tournament that they do every year, it's a tough task, Chewy. It is a tall task. So football, for those who don't know, for high school athletics here in the state of Wisconsin, is different than every other sport because you have to qualify for the postseason tournament. Just too many teams. You can't have that long of a tournament, football too physical of a game. So you have to, in order to automatically qualify, have a winning record in your conference. And they've done a good job of, you know, okay, every conference now has the same number of teams. So if you have four conference wins, you qualify for the postseason tournament. The problem is every year, they need to grab some teams from that only had three conference wins in order to put them into, you know, fill out all the brackets that they have throughout all seven divisions and have the, you know, 224 teams for those seven divisions. So Greenfield, a local team here, Madison West, another one, obviously not local, but they were on the bubble for the WIAA playoff qualification, and they did not have their team end up in the brackets. And if you kind of take a look at what their tiebreaker regulations are, I'll save you all the painstaking details, but it looks like Greenfield should have been in based on their, you know, playoff, you know, tie-breaking qualifications as a three-win conference team. The WIAA, with a statement released by Director of Communications Todd Clark, said, quote, "The staff consistently applied the overall combined win-loss percentage of only the conference opponents they defeated. They were added to the playoff field. The qualifying and seeding criteria has been developed with the football coaches. The football coaches advisory committee meets after each season and may review and recommend changes to the criteria at that time." But they pretty much screwed up, Chu. Greenfield should be in based on the tiebreaker procedures that they have, and they're not going to do anything about it. They did, it is worth noting, misapply tiebreakers for their eight-man football, which, again, a lot of smaller communities, some just have eight-man football versus, you know, the full 11-man, and had to release a revised bracket this weekend. It just seems like every year the WIAA has to do something where they can't get out of their own way. I just don't understand how this consistently happens with the WIAA. It's mind-boggling to me that, even though, again, this is a tough process to get all these teams seated, ready to go, and have everything in line in such a short turnaround from the games on Friday and have the brackets out by Saturday, but to not follow your own tie-breaking procedures and keep schools out is just baffling to me.
So who did they let in instead of Greenfield?
I'm going to scroll through here. Because it's not necessarily, you know, like in terms of division, because they have to kind of break it all down. I think Pewaukee and Edgewood ended up getting in when maybe they shouldn't have.
Okay. I mean, why is it so difficult? I don't get it. And I'm sure they're not addressing it because they never address anything. I mean, we tore them. I forget what we ripped them for. A few years
seems
ago.
About to say, it seems like
it was
an annual
soccer
thing,
but it's always a negative thing. They're run by a bunch of clowns. So, I mean, and this goes back. I have complaints way back to when I was coaching at Waukesha West, you know, on the way they seeded things. And
oh, yeah. I mean, we can. I mean, it seems like there was a lot of complaining around that, too, where, you know, teams that, you know, should have a head-to-head tiebreaker versus somebody ends up with a lower seed and all that sort of thing. They've done coaches meetings, they've done computer rankings, and that's not even this, right? Like, this is, like, you have teams, you have criteria, and then you, misapplied how you do that and let one team in when they shouldn't have been in.
The additional extra wrinkle here is, I believe there are reports that the WIAA was notified they had misapplied the tiebreakers and still put out the same exact thing.
Yeah, so that was from Travis Wilson of the Wisc Sports.
Yeah.
Who do a great job, you know, covering all the high school sports all over. I saw that tweet that he had put out there where every once in a while, because Travis has done a lot of legwork himself in terms of, you know, projecting playoff fields and that sort of thing throughout the course of the season, that they have been, their website, that entity has been used as, hey, you know, just kind of, you know, does this look right to you type of situation? And it seems like they said, I don't know if this is right. And the WIAA pushed it out anyway.
Yeah, they're very frustrated. I mean, is there ever good news about the WIAA? Do they ever do anything good? I mean, whole soccer thing I told you years ago where there was an incorrect...
The wrong person got
yellow
ejected.
Card,
yeah.
Or yellow card called on a girl, mm-hmm. where they disqualified her. We had video evidence that They reported the number wrong, and they didn't want to hear about it. Look, they're clowns. I'm so sick of talking about them. You know what I mean?
They've levied a penalty, I know, earlier, I think a couple of weeks ago. Or it might have been last week when I was gone. I saw the story where MPS does a thing, because they have two different football divisions, and they kind of realign within there. Like, if you win the lower division, you get promoted to the upper one. And shocking, MPS didn't fill out right paperwork with the WIAA. So now the schools that got involved with that are facing a two-year postseason ban.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, I understand, like, the rules exist
now
for
a reason.
Now,
you got to give them credit for one thing. Gabe, you have to give them credit for one thing.
Yeah, what's that?
And that's leaning into what morons they are, because they lean into it really well, you know. And I kind of appreciate that, you know.
Ryan from Iguanago points out it is indeed the Greenfield effect, which is something that, you know, you have.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you've never heard about the Greenfield effect?
No,
basically.
I haven't either. And I used to coach there. What is it? You gonna hold it? Is that a tease?
I'm gonna yell at you. I'm gonna yell at Chewy for being a dip bleep in 2 minutes.
I'm sick.